Hello, this is Sharon with the Pantograph, dated April 25th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined Fibers of Love Sow Joy, Service in People's Lives. Members of a Bloomington sewing group have used their talent to touch thousands of lives over 25 years with gifts of dignity, warmth, and comfort. About 50 women in the Fibers of Love group come together every Monday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., April through December, at 101 North Robinson Street in Bloomington to spend the day creating items for social service agencies in central Illinois and around the world. I find the atmosphere so peaceful. Everyone is laughing and having a good time. We produce more than just a product. It's about giving respect and love to others, said Tricia Horner, group facilitator. She said quilts add a touch of home to the bed of a resident in a nursing home. Catheter bag covers offer privacy to hospital patients. Weighted blankets calm the nerves of individuals diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder or Alzheimer's. Tiny crib sheets keep beds snug for children in hospitals or under foster care. Small burial gowns are stitched from old wedding dresses to comfort grieving parents of stillborn infants. The nonprofit group, organized through Calvary United Methodist Church of Normal, created 6,400 items for 48 agencies last year, said Horner. Receiving agencies include Heartland Head Start, the Veterans Affairs Hospital in Danville, the Humane Society of Central Illinois, and Twin City Hospitals, daycare centers, and schools. We fill a need for agencies due to all their budgetary cuts. It's fun to be creative and inspired and feel that you're giving back to the community, said Horner. Each week, Fibers of Love members examine a list of project requests, divvy up the steps based on skill, chip away at the job, and then package and distribute the items. Three-year member Bonnie Olson of Shirley said she looks forward to the weekly meeting. It's something I treasure. We assist the whole gamut of race, ages, and needs. It's a rewarding feeling knowing the end product is meeting a need, said Olson. And it really is fun, she added. The meetings usually start with hugs and smiles and catching up. Then the members join hands to pray over the projects, the recipients, and each other. We have gotten close as friends because we have something in common, the desire to sew and do something for others, said Jean Riley of Bloomington, a Fibers of Love member for 6 years. We're not in it for the glory. We're in it to make someone's life easier and to meet their need. Anyone can join the group during any meeting, said members, and it is not limited to women or talented seamstresses. Kay Brooke of Normal was invited to join the group 5 years ago, even though she doesn't have strong sewing experience. She helps cut and sort remnants of fabric each week. It's a very wonderful, supportive group. We're all there because we care about the projects and the recipients, said Brooke. Pat Messinger of Bloomington cuts and irons fabric to pass on to the seamstresses. A handmade object brings a sense of caring, said Messinger. You can buy anything wrapped in plastic, but recipients know someone is taking time to reuse fabric with a personal touch. Much of the fabric, thread, and sewing tools used by the group come from community donations. We receive things through God's blessing, said Olson. Members said when there is need for serger thread or rotary cutters, often the items drop into the group's lap via donations. Contributions of fabric, thread, needles, and other sewing supplies are accepted anytime in plastic grocery bags on the porch at 2306 Park Ridge Road in Bloomington. Monetary donations can be made out to Calvary United Methodist Church with Fibers of Love written on the memo line. Bulky Waste Switch, May 1st. Collection now will be twice a year only. The City of Bloomington is changing the way it picks up bulky waste starting next week with a citywide free curbside collection. The city is shifting away from curbside bulky waste pickup every other week, in which a household's first front-end loader bucket of waste was free, to free curbside collection of any amount of bulky waste twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. The spring bulky waste collection will be on Tuesday, and the fall collection will be on October 1st. On those 2 days, residents need to have their bulk waste out on the curb by 6 a.m. to ensure pickup. In February, the City Council approved limiting bulky waste pickups at the curb to twice a year and raising fees by $4 each for its two larger garbage carts to close a $1.1 million annual deficit in the solid waste disposal program. Crews will start on Tuesday going through the community. We're putting all of our resources toward trying to do a quick pickup, said Bloomington Public Works Director Jim Karsh. We're throwing 5 different crews at it with many trucks. Residents can website www.citybloom.org. That's www.citybloom.org. to track where crews have picked up bulky waste during the spring collection. We realize we will not be able to complete that collection all in one day, said Karsh. We expect this full city collection will take upwards of a week to complete. We are instructing our crews to pick up everything they see along the way because we won't be going back. In between pickups, residents will be able to dispose of bulky waste for free at the city's drop-off center, which has been renamed the Citizens Convenience Center at 402 South East Street. The center will be open from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, Karsh said. Residents also will be able to request curbside collection of bulky waste for $25 per end loader bucket. The new monthly garbage cart rates will be $25 for the 65-gallon cart and $29 for the 95-gallon cart, but the $16 per month fee for the 35-gallon cart and low-income refuse fee, also $16, remain unchanged. Beginning May 1, 2019, all cart sizes and the low-income refuse fee will increase by 3% each year. Garbage will continue to be collected weekly. Recycling and brush will be picked up every other week at no additional charge. Construction materials cannot be placed for bulky waste collection. We don't want roofing materials, shingles, concrete, asphalt, rock, or sod, said Karsh. But they can leave out couches, chairs, end tables, larger lamps, and things like that. The city also collects appliances, but not TVs and monitors. Normal's Electronics Recycling Drop-Off Center at the town's Public Works Facility, 1301 Warrior Lane, takes those items. We're giving a grace period so we can try to encourage this change in behavior, said Karsh. This is really going to be hard for a lot of folks. If a bulky waste item has been placed at the curb without a request for pickup at the owner's expense, we'll slap a sticker on it, put something on the door letting people know about the new practice, said Karsh. We'll give you 2 weeks to take it off the curb. If the item is left at the curb after 2 weeks, the city will collect it and automatically charge the resident through the water city services bill. Designated as an enterprise fund in the city budget, solid waste collection is supposed to be self-funded by user fees. But the chronically insufficient revenue was projected to leave a $1.1 million gap in the $7.4 million program for fiscal 2019. The intention of these changes is to have the solid waste program pay for itself, said Karsh. Beginning Tuesday, the typical residential household also will see a $6.06 a month increase in its combined sanitary and storm sewer fees bill to help pay for the $136 million in needed sewer replacements over the next 20 years. Area calendar, Wednesday. Advantages of funeral pre-planning. At 10 a.m. Wednesday, Bloomington Public Library Community Room. The speaker is Chad Sparks, Public Relations Director for Calvert Funeral Homes. On Thursday, Teen DIY Marbled Scarves, 6 p.m. Thursday, Bloomington Public Library Community Room. Supplies provided, no registration. Book signing, 7 to 9 p.m. Thursday, Coffee Hound, Bloomington. Stories from the Jesus House by Patty Lacey and Angie Reedy. Bone Lecture, 7 p.m. Thursday, Prairie Room, Bone Student Center, Illinois State University, Normal. The topic, Why the History of Human Rights Matters. Speaker, Lynn Hunt, Professor at University of Southern California, Los Angeles. And the Livingston County Historical Society at 7 p.m. Thursday, Pontiac City Hall Chambers. The program, The Morris Cabin, Digging Up the Past by Connie Costell. Color Run to Benefit Habitat. The Illinois State University Chapter of Habitat for Humanity will host its inaugural Habitat Home Run 5K, a color fun run walk fundraiser on Sunday on the ISU Quad. Check-in will begin at 8:15 a.m. and the race will start at 9 a.m. Proceeds will go toward building of this year's Chapter Habitat House. Cost is $10 for students and $15 for non-students. You can register at www.eventbrite.com/e/habitat-at-home-run-5k-tickets-44333-193776. During the race, event workers will throw colored powder on participants at various locations along the course. There will be a road closure, Illinois 165. Roadway improvement work will begin Tuesday, May 1st on Illinois 165 from Colfax to the Ford County line. At least one lane will remain open in both directions during the project. Expected completion is the end of July, weather permitting. The project involves shoulder widening installing guardrails, and seeding. BFD adds extra gear as health measure. In Bloomington, the city's line firefighters will get a second set of protective coats and pants, known as turnout gear, an extra expense aimed at prolonging their lives, according to city elected officials. The city council voted unanimously to award a $282,000 contract to Municipal Emergency Services of Deerfield for 100 complete sets of turnout gear. The vote Monday followed Bloomington Fire Chief Brian Moore explaining that the move will allow firefighters to rotate gear in and out of service for cleaning, which reduces the risk of exposure to cancer-causing residue. Firefighting has always been a dangerous occupation. Most of my career training has been focused on how to manage risk, said Moore. Typically, that risk has focused on firefighters' survival, operating in the immediate hazard zone. But over the last 10 years, there has been an increased focus on the relationship between firefighting and cancer, said Moore. NIOSH, the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, reports that firefighters have a 14% greater chance of dying from cancer than the general public and are twice as likely to get skin cancer, testicular cancer, and mesothelioma, he said. Research suggests that an increased exposure to known carcinogens in smoke contribute to those statistics, said Moore. The gear that is designed to protect us from fire becomes contaminated with these contaminants and are absorbed into our skin or are off-gassed and inhaled, he said. Having a clean set of turnout gear to wear would add to other protocols such as showers and decontaminated wipes for helmets, masks, and other equipment, he added. In other action, the council voted unanimously to award 7 contracts for street resurfacing, sidewalk maintenance and improvements, and utility maintenance. They included $4 million to Row Construction to resurface 25 streets with asphalt this summer, $1 million in contracts to Stark Excavating Incorporated for sidewalk improvements, and $1.3 million in contracts with George Gildner, Inc. for emergency and non-emergency utility repairs. They also voted unanimously to award a $290,875 contract to Mid-Illinois Mechanical, Inc. to replace the warm brine piping under the city-owned Grossinger Motors Arena. Contrary to information previously provided to the Pantograph, City Facilities Manager Russ Waller said Monday the project was put out for a bid, but no one submitted a bid. The city found a vendor to make the repair to the piping that feeds the ice-making system at the arena. They also voted unanimously to adopt a resolution directing water department staff to issue violation notices to existing non-conforming boat docks at the city-owned Lake Bloomington. Bloomington Normal, familiar turf for Rogers. His third visit to town thrills fans gathered at a Red Cross event. Aaron Rodgers has visited Bloomington Normal a total of 3 times now, and he says he has yet to pay for a meal. I remember a couple of season-ending trips from Green Bay to Arkansas with my very close friend and long snapper Brett Good, who lives there, he said. We left at 3 a.m. after the season ended, and by breakfast time, we were in Bloomington. I love Cracker Barrel, and I have stopped there at least twice, and each time some anonymous patron paid for our meal, and that's pretty sweet. He also visited once in 2014 with teammate Evan Dietrich Smith. Rogers, who will be in his 14th season with the Green Bay Packers, was the keynote speaker at the 25th annual American Red Cross Serving Central Illinois Evening of Stars on Tuesday night at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Uptown Normal. He spoke with the Pantograph following a pre-dinner reception at Uptown Station. Red Cross officials said 1,104 people attended the dinner, a record for the event. The amount raised was not available, but spokeswoman Trish Burnett said they hope to match or top last year's event, which raised about $230,000 for Red Cross programs, including disaster relief, community preparedness initiatives such as the Home Fire Prevention Campaign, assistance for military families, collection of blood and blood products, and health and safety education classes. Red Cross is very important to me because it's about people helping people, Rogers said. He said he knows Bloomington Normal as a college town, similar to his hometown of Chico, California. State Farm and I have a long relationship, and so I know that they are headquartered here. And it's really fun to be back and to be able to have some time to look around and meet some of the people, he said. Several attending the dinner also had the chance to have pictures taken with Rogers, including Tom Brady, the 16-year-old son of State Representative Dan Brady, Republican from Bloomington, who has the same name as the New England Patriots quarterback, a longtime Rogers rival. I told him my name and he just said, "What?" Tom Brady said, wearing a Packers jersey. He also owns a Tom Brady Patriots jersey, Dan Brady said, but we left that at home. Andrew Birschbach of Decatur brought members of his family along with a specific purpose. Donning a red and white Christmas hat, he and his brothers and father posed next to Rogers as Andrew pointed to a sign with an arrow pointing at the featured guest and the phrase, "Aaron freaking Rogers." "It's going to be a great Christmas card," he said. Longtime Packers fan Kristen Barker called getting her picture taken with the Super Bowl winner and MVP a dream come true. "He's so good looking, and I've never met anyone famous like that before," she said. "And now I have proof." New lawyer named for Nowlin murder case appeal. A new attorney was named Tuesday to represent Misook Nowlin on her claims that she did not receive adequate legal assistance during her 2012 murder trial in the death of her mother-in-law. Ron Lewis, a lawyer with the Public Defender's Office, argued that attorneys in his office could have a conflict of interest handling the case because Nowlin's claim is linked to the work performed on her case by the county office. Public Defender Carla Barnes, one of the lawyers on Nowlin's original trial team, was appointed later to lead the Public Defender's Office. Nowlin is serving 55 years for the 2011 killing of Linda Tida. Nowlin told police she acted in self-defense during a confrontation with Tida, who was lured to Bloomington from her home near Chicago by Nowlin in response to a phony request to perform translation services. Judge Robert Freitag agreed with Lewis's contention that Barnes' current supervisory role could put Lewis or others assisting Nowlin with her post-conviction petition into an awkward position. assistant public defenders ought not prosecute a claim of ineffective counsel involving their supervisor, said Freitag. Lewis noted that outside attorneys who are under contract to handle public defender cases where a conflict exists are not obligated to work on murder cases under the terms of their agreement with the county. Kelly Harms, a private attorney under contract to handle post-conviction claims, was appointed to represent Nowlin, but also may have a conflict. Lewis said Harms previously worked at both a public defender and a prosecutor in McLean County. Third trial denied in child abduction case. Twice convicted of child abduction, with his prison sentence behind him, Michael Williams failed Tuesday to convince a judge that he is entitled to a third trial that he hoped would clear his name. Williams, now 47, was convicted in 2011 and 2014 of attempting to lure a 14-year-old boy into his car during a 2010 incident near a Bloomington school. He is challenging the outcome of his second trial, held after the 4th District Appellate Court overturned his first conviction. Williams of Peoria admitted he was watching pornography on a laptop computer in his car as he drove around trying to sell shoes to students to earn money. He denies the allegations related to luring a child. After Tuesday's hearing, Williams broke down in sobs when asked about his ongoing effort to clear his record of the felony conviction. "I wasn't trying to do anything," Williams said of the child abduction accusation. "The connection by police of the pornography to the student is incorrect," he said. "I don't think my life should be so damaged because of a mistake I made," said Williams, referring to the pornographic material in his car. Judge Scott Drzewski rejected arguments by defense lawyer Joseph Borsberry that Williams lacked effective legal assistance at the second trial. Failure by a public defender to object to leading questions posed by a prosecutor to former Bloomington police detective Michael Burns was unfair and prejudicial. The detective's testimony about physical and sexual abuse of children, offenses Williams was not accused of committing, denied Williams a fair trial, said the defense lawyer. Assistant State's Attorney Kristen Alferink argued that the decision to object to certain questions posed by attorneys often is a matter of trial strategy. Dresky agreed, noting that he has seen diverse trial strategies employed by lawyers during the 250 to 275 jury trials he has handled as a judge. Williams plans to appeal Tuesday's ruling. If granted another trial, he would not be sentenced because he has completed the 5-year term for his initial conviction. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph. Please stay tuned.